In Matthew chapter number 13, I want to entitle the message this morning, Let's Go Fishing in Jesus' Pond. Let's go fishing in Jesus' pond. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse number 47, if you would please. The Bible said again. If he said again, then that meant that he'd already said something prior to that that would have to do with what he's talking about. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus has begun preaching in parables. In fact, and I'll not keep you standing real long, but the Bible said in verse 34 and 35, And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them. He goes into verse 35 and he says, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. He said, I will open my mouth in parables. So in Matthew chapter 13, you have the parables of the kingdom. We're going to talk about it a little bit. But in verse 47, Jesus himself said this again, the kingdom of heaven that was cast into the sea and gathered every kind. Are y'all following me? Every kind. Great net was cast into the sea and it gathered every kind of fish. Not just a certain kind, but every kind. Read on. And he said there, and which when it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be in the end of the world. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Can anybody in here think perhaps what he's referring to in verse number 50 when he says, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there is wailing and gnashing of teeth? What do you think he's talking about? Talking about hell. You don't hear that much preaching on hell anymore, do you? I want you to know something. As long as I got breath in this body, I'm going to still preach heaven sweet and hell hot. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I need to touch this morning. Lord, I've been talking to you. And I need your power. Heavenly Father, I pray as we try to preach this message that the Holy Ghost of God would move in. God, that he would just move up and down these pews this morning. God, I pray the presence of God be so real in this next little while that man will not be able to put a finger against it and say, something that man has done, but God, truly, we need your help. I pray for power. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd unctionize this old preacher man this morning. Give me the words, the liberty, I pray this, and I'll ask it in Jesus' wonderful name, and for Jesus' sake we pray, and everybody said, amen. Thank you, be seated. Jesus used two phrases in the Gospels, and he used two phrases talking about the parables of the kingdom. Don't let that scare you, because he talked about the parables of the kingdom of heaven and he talked about the parables of the kingdom of God. If you were to take and I've said this before, but some of you may not have been here, but if you were to take, and I'm not going to write on this sign, but if you were to take a piece of paper and draw a big old circle on that piece of paper and put out beside of there the kingdom of heaven, and inside of that big old circle, you'd put a smaller circle and put there the kingdom of God. You say, what does that mean? If you read your Bible, you'll know that Jesus spoke of in the Gospels, there are seven parables of the kingdom of heaven. I preached some of those in years past, but I'll probably re-preach them. The kingdom of heaven, he said, is likened unto wheat and tares. He said that the wheat and the tares, they grow together, they look the same. From the outward appearance, you cannot tell a tare from a wheat. But then as they grow together, all of a sudden, the wheat grows taller than the tares. And when their harvesting time comes, it's easy to spot the difference between the wheat and the tares. And Jesus said, the tares will be gathered together in a bundle and cast into a lake of fire. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a marriage supper. That a man provided the wedding garments for his son's marriage, and as the guests would come in, it was the man's responsibility to provide a garment when they came into that marriage supper, so they would not wear their own clothes, but they would be clothed in the garment of a wedding. There was one man that snuck in. I know that's not a word. It sneaked, but I like the word snuck. He snuck in, and as they were having this festivity and as they were having this wedding, the man of the household came over and said, sir, how is it that you have no wedding garment? He began to make all kinds of excuses. But you see, the problem was he didn't stop at the door and get the wedding garment put on before he tried to come in. He tried to mingle in with those that were clothed in the wedding garment. But he, my friend, had no wedding garment on, and it was mixed in with the rest of them. Jesus said that man would be taken, bound, and cast into the furnace of fire. What is the Lord trying to tell us here? I want to go on record. Two things I want to say. Number one, thank God for those that have been saved in recent days. I rejoice. Thank God that your name has been inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. The second thing I want to say to you this morning, I am not here to cut another notch in my gun barrel. I'm not here to write down. I'd never have kept track of how many folks gotten saved under my ministry for 40 some plus years. I never have written down how many people got saved. But I will say this to you, if you're here today and you may be a church member, you may be a good person, you may have sat on that pew ever since I've been here, my friend, listen, if you lost without God, you need to get saved. I'm not trying to make you lost, but I'm trying to make you think. Let's go fishing in Jesus' pond. Let's look here what Jesus said. Now, I like this because I'm a fisherman. I can't wait. Water gets a little warmer. I want to get out. I want to catch some fish. Look here. I want to give you about five or six things out of this passage. First of all, would you notice that he talks about the net? The first thing I find in Matthew chapter 13, there's a net. In this type of fishing, they're not out there with a hook and a line and a cork and a bobber. But the picture is they've got... come here, Josh. Come here for a second. Come here. And Frank, come here for a second. Come here. And here's what they do. How many of you fellas in here... Join my hand here. You join his hand over there. How many fellas in here have ever fished a seine? You know what a seine is. How many of you know what a seine is? Brother Larry knows what a seine is. You'd take a seine, and here's what you do. You'd put a seine out, and every fish that swims by gets caught in that seine. But here's what the Persians would do. They would join hand to hand like this, and when they'd go into an area to conquer that area, they'd walk through hand in hand. And friend, when they'd come to an enemy, thank you guys, when they'd come to an enemy, they would slay the enemy. They had an impregnable fortress that went all the way across, and it encompassed everybody. Jesus said, this net here has been set. It's a drag net, a seine. It swept across the bottom of the water, gathered every kind of fish there was. It gathered, I mean, the good fish, the bad fish, the trash fish. It gathered every bit of fish there was. There was in the ocean. Notice the net represents the gospel. Brother James this morning did not know, as he took the Sunday school quarterly here. Brother James took the Sunday school quarterly, and he read this morning in 1 Corinthians, and he read in chapter 15, verses 1 through verse number 8, out of the Sunday school quarterly, and he said, The gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus. It took the death of Jesus on the cross. It took the shedding of blood. It took him being buried. It took him being raised again the third day for you and me to be saved. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. Sorry, the devil's trying to get your mind off what I'm saying. Thank God. Let's pray for them right now. They're going to help somebody. Amen. Let's bow our heads right now. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, whatever that situation is, whatever that accident, whatever that tragedy, whatever that catastrophe might be, pray the hand of God be upon our friends, our loved ones, as they go out to minister. And I pray, Holy Ghost of God, get everybody's mind back here. For Lord, I know that the Satan is doing his part, trying to disrupt. But thank God we are more than conquerors. Blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Look back here. The saying, cast out, drawed every time fish in. What is the net? The net is the gospel. And my friend, when we preach, it must be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May He be lifted up. May He be preached about. It's not about social issues. It's not about political issues. It's not about economic issues. Thank God it's the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And God called me to be a preacher of the gospel. He didn't call me to be a politician. If I were to take another job, if I were to be elected president of the United States, I'd be condescending. Thank God I've got the highest calling of the land because God Almighty put His hand on me and God called me to be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus. The gospel. Watch the third thing here. That net, it has to be cast out. You got to throw it out. You can't leave it sitting in the building. You can't leave it sitting at home. That net has to be cast out. It has to be drawn. And friend, let me tell you something. The Bible said the gospel has to be preached in order for men to be saved, in order for women to be saved. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Honey, listen, singing is good. Thank God, listen, and plays are good. But it takes the preaching of the gospel to get people saved. Takes the preaching. All these seminars and feminars and dramas and everything else is good. Don't get me wrong. But honey, it takes the preaching of the blessed old book in order for men to be saved. It takes the preaching of the gospel. But then notice the net has to be drawn in. It has to be drawn in. And beloved, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? I've been preaching, at least trying to, for over 40 years. And I know one thing. Sister Gail, I cannot save anybody. I cannot get anybody on this altar. Listen, I might tell you a sob story, and you might have a reaction to that sob story, and you might come down and shake my hand. But honey, I got news for you. Until the Holy Ghost of God gets a hold of your heart, until He convicts you of sin, you'll not get saved. It takes the Holy Ghost of God. And I will tell you something. That Holy Spirit can be grieved. You can sit there in that pew, and you can say no to Him one too many times. I preached on Sunday morning before and preached somebody's funeral the following week. I know what the Holy Spirit can do. If you're here this morning and you're lost without God, let me tell you something. Don't you walk out them doors. You walk out them doors lost. I may be preaching your funeral when I get back from New Mexico. Amen. Serious business. Second of all, quickly, notice the sea. We got the net, got the sea. Now the Bible said, look what He talked about here. And He gathered in verse 747, He gathered all kinds. The sea represents humanity. All creatures. The sea represents all mankind. The Bible said in Isaiah 57:20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest. There are two types of people in this world. Notice I said two types. I didn't say black and white, rich and poor. I didn't say Navajo and Anglo. I did not say Chinese and Japanese and Russian. There are two types of people in this world. There is the blood-washed children of God that's going to heaven when they die, and there's the lost that's going to bust hell wide open and burn for the eternal ages. That's the only two types of people. Look at your Bible. Isn't it amazing that Jesus didn't say what money you had, what kind of car you drove, what kind of house you lived in? No, sir. He said there's only two types, and he uses the good and the bad. We go quickly on record and say this. Nobody is good enough to go to heaven. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Listen, I want to tell you a little bit about me. I was saved when I was about 11 years old. Nobody wrote it down. I wish they had a... But I can take you back to 4905 Lakemont Drive. I can take you down into the house where Jesus saved me. I can take you back to one Sunday night. But I sat in the back of that church at New Baptist Church. I heard Brother Harold Curry preach, and I got under conviction. I'm talking about Bible conviction. I'm talking about Holy Ghost conviction. I sat there, and I couldn't wait till I get out the door. 11-year-old boy. I'm going to tell you something. And I tell you this, I'm not bragging on me because there's nothing good in me. I'm going to tell you something. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My daddy was a drunk. My granddaddy made moonshine whiskey. My daddy was an alcoholic before he got saved. In 1960, my daddy got saved. And my daddy loved me enough that he pointed me to Jesus. I want to tell you something. I'm not bragging on Frank Thacker, but I've never been in a bar. I've never taken a drop of whiskey. I've never drunk a beer. I've never... Listen, hey, I'm not a goody two-shoes, but I want to tell you something. Is it God saved me just like he'd save any old down-and-out drunk? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Look here. There's the net. There's the sea. Represents all of mankind. Third of all, there's the fisherman. Represents those that cast the net. Somebody's got to do it. Can I tell you something? Thank God this little lady here goes into prison. Somebody's got to do that. Amen? Somebody's got to stand behind that sacred desk and preach. Amen? Somebody! I'm talking about somebody's got to do it. And let me tell you something. God's called every one and the last one of you, if you're saved by the grace of God, to do something. Amen. You may never stand up there and preach. You may never stand up there and sing. You may never be involved in a prison ministry, but God has called every last one of us to serve him. We are the fishermen. John chapter 21, there was a group of them that went fishing one night. They toiled all night long. They caught nothing. Jesus come up on the shore the next morning and said, "Children, have you any meat?" And they said, "No, we hadn't caught anything." Now listen to me. There was no problem with the boat. The boat didn't spring a leak. It didn't sink. There was no problem with the boat. Honey, there's nothing wrong with the church. I'm not talking about this building, but there's nothing wrong with the church of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Nothing wrong with the boat. Second of all, nothing wrong with the time of day. They went fishing at nighttime. Anybody, how many of you know that the best fishing is usually at nighttime? Yeah. It wasn't any problem with the boat. Wasn't any problem with the time. Some people say, "Preacher, we're living in such a wicked age." I know we are, but thank God greater grace is now. Thank God he can still save all lost sinner. Amen. Don't ever give up on God. And don't ever give up on your loved ones. So there was nothing wrong. John 21, there was nothing wrong with the boat. There's nothing wrong with the time of day. And there was nothing wrong with the net that they used. What is the net? The gospel. I want to tell you folks something. There ain't nothing wrong with this old blessed King James 1611. Say amen right there. You might say, "Preacher, aren't you going to move up to one of them new translations? What's wrong with the old one? It's still working good." Well, preacher, you know, it's just hard for me to understand these thous and shouts and wilts. And honey, I got news for you. If you get in this book and you read it, you'll understand it. Amen. The Bible said that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of the Lord, for their foolishness under him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Somebody tells me they got a problem understanding the Bible. I say, you better get saved. Because once you get saved, you got the teacher, the Holy Ghost, that comes in. And he'll teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. He'll help you. Amen. So there's nothing wrong with the boat. There's nothing wrong with the net. There's nothing wrong with the time of day, but they caught nothing. What was the problem? I'll tell you the problem. It's the problem was with the fishermen. If you look at who was in that boat that night in John 21, you'll find that Peter, he was a backslider. James and John, they had a bad temper. And Nathaniel was a critic. And Thomas was a doubter. And all of them in the boat, they're trying to do something for God. Hey, you know where revival begin at? It'll begin right here on this altar. When you and I as fishermen say, oh God, use me. Use me. Glory of God. Clean my life up. Amen. Oh, quickly now. Number four, back in Matthew 13, the fish. The fish. Now, I'm going to use a personal illustration. I go fishing a lot. Oh, let me rephrase that. When I do go fishing, we usually target Spanish mackerel. You say, why you do that? Well, they taste good. They're good for you. They're not too hard to catch. They're fun. But along the way, we catch a lot of bluefish. Now, personally, I have eaten bluefish, but I'm not a fan of bluefish. But this man sitting right here, I brought him, what was it, 150-quart cooler? Full of bluefish. That man right there loves, Travis loves bluefish. You go down at the beach somewhere, you out there cleaning fish, and you know what they'll do? They'll come by you, Gail. They want to look in your cooler, see what you got. Oh, you got some nice Spanish mackerel. Well, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for them bluefish in there. You go to some of them restaurants down yonder at the beach, and I've seen them $15.95 on the menu. I didn't order none of them. Got a whole cooler full. Why would I want to do that? Well, here's what I'm saying. Somebody in here told me, I can't remember who it was, they used to catch on the pier, they'd catch these, what they call these blowfish, these little toadfish. They'd throw them off. They'd just chuck them off to the side. And some fellow walked by and said, hey, you're throwing away the best fish there is in the ocean. Them 2 pieces of meat right down the back, said, they taste, man, that's the best thing in the sea. What am I saying? There's good tasting fish and there's trash tasting fish, so to speak. Look at the Bible. Here's the fish. 2 types. Jesus divided them into good and bad. Does not mean you get to heaven by doing good works. No, sir. The Bible said, for by grace are you saved. Not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You'll never get to heaven by doing good. Listen. Some folks today, when you try to talk to them about Jesus Christ, and you know what the first thing come out of their mouth? Well, you know, I've been a member of that church for so many years. Tied to that church so many years. Well, I'm a part of that men's group. There's people in hell today for the endless ages. They trusted in something good they've done, and they woke up lost without God. Amen. I have to sit down yonder and holler amen if y'all won't help me. Look here. Good and bad. Notice what happened. There was a separation. Look quickly. I'm about done. Hang on. Your dinner will wait. Like Brother James said, I got 27 hours on the road, so hey, the more I stand right now, the better off I'm going to be. Amen. Verse 48, when it was full, the net was full, they drew it to shore, and they sat down, and they gathered the good in the vessels, but they cast the bad away. Verse 48, look at there for a second. There is a deliberate act of separation. When they threw the net out, it got every kind of fish there was. They didn't try to separate them when the net was full. They separated them after they got back to the shore, and they took time to go through their catch, and they said, we're going to keep this one, and we're going to discard this one. We're going to put this one in the vessel. This one over here is going to be destroyed. May I tell you something? I am not the Holy Ghost of God. You figure that out. I cannot look at people and say, you're saved and you're lost. The Holy Ghost of God can do that. But I know this, there is coming a day, there is coming a time that God Almighty is going to separate the believers and the unbelievers, and the believers will have their place in heaven, the unbelievers will have their place in the lake of fire. Y'all believe that? Say amen. Look here. So there was a separation. Notice number 6. The final destiny. The good fish were gathered in the vessels. Those represent the saved. Thank God I'm listening. I'm waiting on the shout. There's a song that come out in recent days. It blesses my heart. Oh, it blesses my soul. By the Mark Trammell Trio. It's almost over. Y'all heard that song? It's almost over. Anybody in here heard that song? Praise God, I need to play it for you. But the song says, it's almost over. I'm talking about God's getting ready to shut this thing down. At the end of the song, they go into, I'm going home. I'm going home. Amen! I'm going home. There's coming a day, I'll preach my last message. There's coming a time, you'll hear this old boy try to bellow out one more last song. There's coming a time that God in heaven's going to look over to Jesus and say, go get your bride, and it's going to be all over for the unsaved. Can I tell you something? If you're listening to my voice this morning and you're lost without Jesus, if God's put his finger on your heart, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to die lost and go to a devil's hell. You say, why is that, preacher? Because when Jesus comes, there's going to be a strong delusion. Don't you sit there this morning and think, given this opportunity you've been given and the Holy Ghost of God working in your life right now, don't you think you're going to get a chance when he comes? No, sir. The Holy Ghost of God's going to be taken out of here, and the Christian's going to be taken out of here, and all hell's going to break loose on this earth. Judgment of God's going to be poured out, and you're going to be left here. If you're not saved, you say, I'm a church member. Don't matter. If you're not saved, you'll be left here. If the shout was to come, if Brother Ricky and I get in that little HHR and praise God, we hear the shout, that little old car just keep going down the road till it hits a road sign or goes out of control. There'll be planes crashing from the air. There'll be trains derailing off the track. There'll be babies that'll be missing. There'll be the dead in Christ that'll be raised up. Thank God he's coming back. Saved. But notice the bad. The bad fish were cast away. The lost will be cast lake of fire. Turn back with me quickly. A few pages. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. I want to read this to you. Saddest words in all the Bible. Saddest words in all the Bible. Saddest words. Matthew 7. 21. Everybody look there for a minute if you got a Bible. Saddest words. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Well, I thought, preacher, all I had to do was call him Lord. He said, not everybody that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. What day is he talking about? Day of judgment. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, what? Have we not prophesied in thy name? My friend, let me tell you something. I won't go on record and say this. I'm thankful to God to be a part of an old-fashioned Bible-believing church. Amen. I want to tell you something. I still stand for the blessed book, the blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior. Hey, I got news for you. It can hell lift the devil. I'm going to stand on this book today. Amen. There's a lot of preachers today that have compromised their beliefs. They'll get a crowd. Honey, I tell you what, you turn on Sunday mornings, you can look at 15, 20,000 people that'll go in an auditorium, and they'll listen to some fella that'll say some good words to them, pat them on the back, and they're lost without Jesus. I've got news for you. There'll be some that'll say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Haven't we preached in thy name? Watch it. And in thy name haven't we cast out devils? I don't know too many Baptists that have done that, but he says here, there's some folks that's unsaved that'll cast out a devil. And he says, and in thy name have we done many wonderful works? Hey, Just because somebody can do something mighty in the name of God doesn't mean that they're saved. Amen. Try the spirits, he said. Try the spirits. For the latter days, there'll come deceiving spirits that'll work in. Now watch what he says there. Saddest words in all the Bible. I've got a red letter edition. I use the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. This is the third, fourth one I've had. That's a red letter right there. I believe every word in there is Jesus' words. Amen? But they tell me the words in red are ascribed to him. And in verse 23, he said, then will I profess unto them. I read it with me, everybody, if you got me there. He said, I never knew you. I didn't know you and forget you. I'm bad about names sometimes. Listen, you might walk by me one day, Gail, and I'll call you Ann or something. I'm sorry. I might call you Joanne. I don't know. Sometimes I'm bad with names. I'm going to tell you something. When he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, it'll never be erased. God doesn't have an eraser on his pencil. He'll never forget my name. I may forget a lot of things. He'll never forget this old boy. He'll never forget the day, that Sunday night, that I bowed and I said, Lord Jesus, come into my life, save me for Jesus' sake. He'll never forget that day. Hey, but he said here, I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. I didn't know you and lose you. I didn't know you and forget you. Hey, once you're saved, thank God, you can say that's Baptist doctrine. Hey, once you're saved, you're always saved by the grace of God. Amen. Question is, have you ever been saved? A saved man will act different, walk different, talk different. Amen. Verse 23, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. They brought the fish in, pulled the net in. The fishermen divided the catch. They threw the good ones over here and they cast the good ones here and they put the bad ones over there. What did they do with the bad ones? Back in Matthew 13, what did he say do to them? Y'all help me out. What did he say do to them? Did he say, well, listen, we'll take them down to the fish market and see what we can get out of them? Did he say throw them back in the pond? What did he say do to them? Throw them in the furnace of fire. There is a place I know not where. There's a time I know not when. That marks the destiny of men from here to despair. I believe without a doubt, sitting here, if we could pull this carpet up, if we had the capabilities of descending past the outer crust of this earth, if we could peer down into the heart of this earth, they tell me it's nothing but molten rock, molten lava. It's burning. You can't feel it, but it's there's fire beneath your feet. Y'all believe that? There's fire beneath our feet. And according to that blessed book right there, he said that hell is beneath us. I believe everybody, listen, everybody that's died without Jesus Christ right now is languishing in the fire of hell. Sister Vicki got burned fixing supper out here about 2 weeks ago. They first said it's second-degree burns. Now they say it's third-degree burns. And she's undergoing treatment. It's painful, real painful. Can you imagine being burned forever and ever and ever and feeling it and not being able to have any relief, not have one drop of water, not have any kind of lidocaine, any kind of painkiller? My friend, listen, hey, those that die without Jesus will burn for the endless ages in hell, my friend. It's not a joke. It's not a myth. It's a real place. If Jesus came today, side that would hear his voice, or would you be left behind?